Welcome to Genesis Metro Church. I'm Carrie Bourne. My husband is normally standing here today, and every Mother's Day, he gives me an opportunity to come and speak on Sunday morning, and I'm always excited for that opportunity. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to everyone in the house. Can we give all of our moms a round of applause? They deserve it. Truly, a mother's work is never done, and I will always say that every mother is a working mother. Can you get an amen on that, right? There's never a day we're not working, whether you're in the home or outside the home. So thank you for all that you do. So I want to give you a little bit of a snapshot of what the last few weeks of my life has held as I come and speak to you today. A few weeks ago, as many of you probably know, I tore my ACL, and I'm miraculously standing on the stage today without my knee brace. I'm so excited to be out of that thing. So I wanted to share a little bit of my story, what I've learned in the process over the last few weeks. I've never had a broken bone. I've never had anything like that. So this was the first time I made it 37 years without breaking anything. And then it finally happened. Apparently, trampolines aren't really safe for a 37-year-old woman. So that's my advice for you today. So I was at this class with Shannon Varner. I always say I blame Varner for this whole thing. I put it all on her. And we were at Urban Air right down the street. And we were doing a cardio class. We dropped the kids off on Wednesday night for Fuse, and we went over to do this cardio class. She was like, we'll burn 1,000 calories in an hour. It'll be awesome. Okay, let's do it. So we're going along, and we're about 25 minutes into the class, and it's like every 30 seconds you're switching up your exercise, so you're working a different body part. And at this particular moment, we were doing 180-degree squat jumps. Does anybody know what that is? I've done these before on a flat surface, which was fine, on a nice stable ground that did not move when you landed. And so now I'm on a trampoline doing these, and I thought to myself, this feels really unsafe for my knee. I should stop. So I did, because I've had this knee thing for years. You know, you just, come on, how many people in here can feel something that's not right in your knee and you ignore it forever, right? Okay, so I'm like, this is not safe. I'm not doing this properly. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to hurt myself. So I stopped. And I thought, well, I'll just do a little variation. I'll do like a 90-degree turn. It'll be nice and soft. It won't be a problem. Well, I guess the damage was already done, because about three of those in and my knee just blew. And if anybody's ever watched this on TV, you see the NFL players, you know, these big macho guys, they're screaming in pain. Basketball players, that is exactly what happens. I heard all this popping and snapping in my head. Everybody has asked me, did it pop? I'm like, oh, it popped a lot. And so I hear all of it. It sounded like just reverberating in my head. I fell to the ground. I'm writhing and screaming in pain. I am completely out of control at this point. And I think I have a pretty high pain tolerance until this happened. And it was way worse than childbirth, is what I've been saying. So I'm screaming, and a few weeks ago, Tim shared that when I'm in a desperate situation, I tend to call out his name. And so I actually started yelling out Shannon's name for some reason, involuntarily screaming, Shannon, Shannon, Shannon. She's like, I'm here. And I'm crawling, I'm like army crawling, like I'm getting away from a war zone, like all this weird stuff. My behavior was out of control. And so I'm thinking to myself, I have got to calm down, Carrie, calm down. So I reverted back to Lamaze breathing techniques from childbirth that I learned to calm myself down. I'm not kidding. Finally got calmed down enough to get in the car, to get to the ER. And of course, a few days later after the MRI, it was told that my ACL was completely torn and my meniscus was partially torn. So through all of this, you know, the next day I was kind of a mess, like mentally, what have I done? What does this mean for my family? It was actually a week and a half before Easter, which was the launch of three services. As you know, I'm thinking, this is not good timing. The only worst possible timing could be women's retreat season. So I'm going through all this. Tim keeps coming in the living room looking at me going, this is the worst possible scenario. As if he has been injured. I mean, finally on day three of that, I was like, hey, this is not the worst possible scenario, okay? You need to get it together, Bourne. And then I've also seen Silas, my youngest, since I've done this, if he gets one tiny scratch on his ankle, he's like, Mom, I can't walk. This morning, I can't walk. I'm like, hey, I had knee surgery 3 weeks ago. You can walk. Let's get it together. Come on. So it's funny what this brings about. So one of the things I've learned as I have been going through this the last few weeks, because I, of course, was like, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to be learning in this season that I'm in? So one of the epiphanies I had was that when my ACL was torn, completely torn before surgery, about a week and a half before surgery, I could not bear any weight on my leg. So I could hobble around. I got to where I could get around my house pretty good before surgery. Still, I couldn't bear any weight on my leg. But as soon as the ACL was repaired, I could bear weight again. Within days, I was able to recover enough to be able to put weight on my leg again. And I wonder how many of us in life would say, when something's torn or disconnected, we're not able to bear weight. But when that connection is repaired, we're able to recover enough to be able to bear weight again. So that led me to the epiphany that connection matters. And it's really a question of connection versus disconnection. And that's what I want to discuss with you a little bit today. So with disconnection, there's all these distressors that come from being disconnected, right? And we see, if we start reading in Philippians chapter 4, you can turn there or look on the screen, that Paul is setting up for us a connection between being content and being discontent. So if connection relates to contentment, then we have to also say that disconnection is related to discontentment. And that's what we want to look at today. Paul is a man in the New Testament who wrote half the New Testament, over half the New Testament. He was a fierce persecutor of Christians before he became one himself. He would seek them out to destroy the work that was happening with Christianity in that day and age. And then once he was converted and he believed who Jesus was, he became as equally fierce on that side. So he went through lots and lots of things. And then we see what he's writing here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. Let's read it. He says, "For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know both how to have a little and how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through him, Christ, who strengthens me." So we see this relationship. Let's talk about disconnection for a minute before we get into connection. The distress of disconnection. A few things. Disconnection leads to pain. That was evident right away. Because as soon as that disconnection took place in my body, it was like pain reverberated through every fiber of who I was. There was no getting away from it. You know, there's sometimes in life, there's like a mild pain, like a stub your toe kind of pain. Anybody have injury, Tourette's, when that happens? Tim says that's Tourette's when injured. That's what he calls that. And then there's like, you know, the root canal kind of pain where it's a little intense. It's uncomfortable. Nobody likes to have that done. Pastor Lucas just had that done this week. I mean, like, I think his tooth came out while he was eating lunch one day. He had to get a root canal that afternoon. Don't you love those surprise root canals? And then there's like my ACL just snapped in half kind of pain, like a whole other level of pain, right? But in life, don't we find that to be true? There's different levels of pain that lead us to different levels of disconnection, really, if we start to think about it. I wonder how many of us in here have ever felt the stub your toe kind of pain in life, emotionally, all the way up to I tore my ACL kind of pain. If we start peeling back the layers in here on Sunday morning, where we all have bright, happy faces on and we're with our families, we might could see a little bit of pain that's happening within our homes or within our marriage, than our church even, because there's nothing like being alone in your pain. And if we're disconnected in the middle of that pain, then we're kind of afloat, right? Disconnection also leads to dysfunction. How many of us are swimming? You feel like I'm swimming in a sea of dysfunction. Everyone around me is dysfunctional. Everyone around me is grasping at me, right? I'm living in a sea of dysfunction. Dysfunction is difficult to deal with. When this happened to me, I was paralyzed, as it were, for just a few moments. It was like I couldn't move. Simple things suddenly became very difficult. Things that were easy for me became impossible in a moment. That's what dysfunction does to us. It's a paralyzing force. Is that right? Dysfunction, you say, hey, nobody has a dysfunctional family like I have a dysfunctional family. How many of you in here could say that, right? Everybody has them. Don't think you're the only one. Everybody has that tree branch, and their family doesn't quite fork. Yes, they do, especially if you come from the South. You never know. When we separate from the source, right? When we separate from the source, which is our God, we find that dysfunction to be so much more paralyzing. And not only dysfunction, but, you know, dysfunction can lead us to a lot of discouragement, depression. I mean, if we were honest in here, women, a lot of us maybe struggle with that. And it's embarrassing to talk about. There's this stigma, you know, about mental illness that we can't discuss it and we can't really admit it. But yet we find ourselves in the midst of those emotions that take us over. And if we're not connected to the one who is able, then we are on our own. We're swimming in it, all that dysfunction laying on us. Dysfunction also leads to discontentment. Paul said he found a way to be content. He found a way to be content. You know, through the years, Tim and I, we've been doing ministry together even before we were married for almost 20 years. Because in college, we also did some ministry together, and we've seen a lot through the years. We've seen a lot. We've seen great stuff. We've seen mountaintops. We've seen valleys. We've seen patterns and processes, and we've learned so much. We've learned so much. We did a lot of things wrong early on, and we've learned a lot. But what the most heartbreaking thing, I think, for me is when we watch people disconnect slowly, and we watch what was once a thriving, connected, impactful life suddenly come dry and bitter and dysfunctional and full of pain. And suddenly their families are left wondering what just happened in the last few months. Where did she go? Where did he go? And all of a sudden, what you once saw is no more, because pain and dysfunction and discontentment has settled in and taken over. So we want to avoid that pattern, but we see it so much. Paul said he found a way to be content. So if I were to ask you today, if you could be Paul and say, I'm so content, are you at peace with your life? Are you at peace? If somebody said, hey, you know, Sunday morning we have these, hi, good morning, how are you? Good, how are you? I'm great, wonderful, thank you. And you go on. How many times do you have that conversation in here, right? And really, if somebody were to stop and go, really, how are you? How has your week been, Nancy? And Nancy were to go, you know what? It's been a hard week. It's been tough. I've struggled this week a little. Like, how many of those kind of conversations do we stop and take time for? Because it's at that moment when we can share that burden and not have to live with it. But if someone were to ask you, are you at peace with your life? What would your answer be? And I don't mean satisfied, because I think the word satisfied denotes like we're not aspiring or dreaming or hoping for anything anymore. We're not working for the next level. I don't mean are you satisfied. I mean, are you at peace? Are you content in your life, whatever season that you're in, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Paul mentions there's a contentment that is possible when we're at peace with the Lord, wherever we're at in life, not satisfied, but content. Without this connection, he says contentment is not possible, is what he says. And I think if we could define the word discontentment today for our purposes, we would say this: it's the inability to enjoy the moment because of a lack of connection. You know, I always say that we can all make the Bible say whatever we want it to say, right? But it's harmonizing the scriptures that we learn and that we come across that really makes a great theology. It's not taking this one and building something on it, but it's looking at all of them together. And I love how God's word always, always confirms itself. Because if we flip over to John 15:5, we'll see a verse that's kind of well known here at Genesis Metro. Many of you have been through this discipleship program where this verse comes up over and over and over. It's John 15:5, and it says this: I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man or woman remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Look at that. If you remain in me and I in you, then you'll bear fruit. But don't forget, apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we look at John 15:5 and we look at Philippians 4:11-13, and we see the connection, I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. There's a connection there. We see the harmonizing of those scriptures, don't we? That the connection is an important thing. It's a big deal. Connection matters. Without it, contentment isn't possible. Without it, Christ cannot strengthen us the way he intends to do. This really leads us to the answer to the disconnection problem. The answer is we got to be connected. The answer is you can't go days and days and weeks and months without being alone with the Lord outside of this kind of setting. This is icing on the cake for what's happening during the week, right? But if we come in here, we grab our little Jesus and we walk out the door, that's not connection. That's feeling good for about an hour on Sunday morning. But connection comes when you put in that time and you invest some time and energy in what he's doing in your life throughout the week. So connection matters. And connection is what leads us to contentment. Let's read the verse again. We'll just read 11 for right now. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Stop right there. Let's define contentment. If discontentment is the inability to enjoy life for our purposes today, then contentment is the ability to enjoy the moment. Are you enjoying your life right now? So when people are around you this week, are you enjoying your life? Or are you trudging through the days, the hours, dreading homework, dreading work, dreading bath time, dreading the time after the kids go to bed? Dreading, dreading, dreading. Are you just trudging through the days to get through the week? Or are you enjoying your life right now? When your kids are grown and gone, can they look back and say, man, we had fun. We enjoyed life together. Are you enjoying your life? There has to be a way for us to do that. Are you experiencing what the Bible says is offered when we're connected to him? I think the skeptic might say something about this. Because if we keep looking in verse 12, says something about learning the secret. He says, I know both how to have a little and how to have a lot. Has anyone in here had a little and had a lot and knows the difference between the two and knows the appreciation that comes with? If you've had very little and now the Lord has given you a lot, you appreciate that. But if someone just hands it to you, is there an appreciation there? When we were first married, Tim and I lived in seminary housing, which is like an apartment the size of this square that I'm standing in right here. And we had, and it was very old, you know, and all the stuff that comes with that. There was like roaches and all kinds of things. East Texas, piney woods, all that. So I had this countertop that was literally this wide. I had one countertop in my kitchen. One countertop. That's it. Okay. I like to cook and all that. So, you know, I'm like, I remember standing in my little seminary kitchen and going, Lord, if there's any way I could have more than one countertop someday, that would be just awesome. Thank you. And it's great now because every time I stand in my kitchen, I think about that countertop. Every time I think about my modern day kitchen, I think, Lord, you gave me countertops. Thank you. It's awesome. But that's just a little snippet of what I'm grateful for in my life. But when we have a little and then we have a lot more counter space, we tend to be more grateful, right? But if somebody just handed that to me when I first got married, I didn't work for that, there would be a lot different factor going on. So as we look at this, the skeptic might say of the secret that Paul has learned, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, everybody else, okay, that might fit them, but you don't understand what I'm going through. How can I be content when my marriage is miserable? How can I be content when I'm living as a divorced person and I never planned for that to be my story? How can I be content when my kids won't listen to anything I say and all we do is stress about parenting them? How can I be content when my finances are in ruin and I don't know how we're going to pay the mortgage this month? How can I be content, Carrie? That might work for everyone else, but how does that work for me? We've got to find hope in the connection that the Lord offers us. Paul says in verse 12, let's read that again. I know how to have little, I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, in abundance or need. Whatever circumstance is what he says. There's a connection we see here. What he's trying to tell us is there is a connection that transcends circumstances. So you can call it what you want. You can define it how you want. You can give all the excuses in the world. But Paul is telling us here in verse 12, there is a connection that's possible that transcends the circumstances. So whatever it is that you, whatever your fill in the blank is, that's covered. Wouldn't it help us to have a connection like that? Man, I want to be able to speak boldly like Paul did and say, I got this, whatever, Lord. I'm content with what you bring. I'm content with where I am. This type of connection accesses the power we need to recover from pain and dysfunction and discontentment in our lives, right? This is the way we do it. Verse 13. Love this part. Verse 13 says, I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now let's start to define some of these words. Let's look at the word able. Able means it is possible, okay? And able also means that it's available to you. Just like when we accept Christ and we become a believer, and then there's the Holy Spirit factor, the Holy Spirit's power is always available to us. It's a matter of us accessing that power. He stands and he waits and he's ready and he's pressing in. It's a matter of us grabbing a hold of that and accessing it. The same is true here that Paul is trying to relate to us. He is able to do it. It is possible. It's a matter of us accessing that. And then if we keep on going, he's able to do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He can get through you if you can connect. This word strengthen, let's look at that. It's an ongoing strengthening, okay? So this is something that is not ending. It's available over and over and over and over. How many of us would say we've messed up with the Lord over and over and over and over? Do you ever find yourself praying? You're like, I know I just confessed to this yesterday, but I'm here again. And I know that just last month I was at your feet saying, I'm sorry, I haven't spent time with you and I've ignored you, but here I am again. Have you ever been in here on Sunday morning and you hear something and you think, oh, a deja vu, I just dealt with this last month, right? This is what we do because we're flesh and we're human, over and over and over. The same is true for the Spirit's power in our life. We're strengthened over and over and over. That's the ongoing work that he's providing. The other thing is, if we look at the root word of strengthened, what we see is this is an active voice. That's the tense that's used in active. That means the person acting is Christ. We are not the ones acting on our own behalf, right? The person acting is Christ. He's the one that's making it available. He's the one that's able to do it, all things. We must put ourselves in a position of submission to him. So how many of us are like control freaks about our life? I got this. I don't need your help. Stubborn, headstrong, whatever you want to call it, like vision, goal-oriented. You can say whatever you want. You can call it whatever you want. But unless you've brought that control stuff underneath the Holy Spirit, then you got a flesh issue with your control stuff, right? We got to bring that under the submission of the Holy Spirit. And that's what God wants to do, is strengthen us in the midst of all of our flaws, of all of our weaknesses. He wants to strengthen us. He's the one that's acting. We're the ones that need to be submitting. I know that if I could stand here today and tell you, I need help with that. I need some help with that. I need his ability in my life. Because on my own, apart from him, like John 15:5 says, I'm nothing. And I will mess it up every single time. I'll mess up my marriage. I'll mess up my parenting. I'll mess up relationships. I'll mess up what I do for a living. I'll mess it up if left to my own devices. But under the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a different story. He is able to do all things. Is your situation covered under the all things? That's a question for us to ponder today. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're suffering from pain and dysfunction and disconnection and discontentment, and you're saying, you know, that is available for a lot of people, but it's not available for me. That's a lie. That's a lie that this world teaches us. That's the lie that the enemy brings into our lives. That's a lie that we feed ourselves. I can't be happy. I don't deserve it. Nobody ever told me I was worth anything. I don't believe in myself. I question myself. I'm insecure. But see, it's not by your own strength. It's by that active power that God is bringing into our lives. Connection matters for us. He intends, by John 10:10, we see this laid out, that he intends to bring us life, and not just life, but abundant life. That's what he intends for you today. Some others, he doesn't intend for you to trudge through every day, dreading work, dreading coming home, dreading dinner, dreading bath time, dreading this, dreading that. What he intends for you is to live an abundant life through a connection in him that leads to a contentment that's not of this world. It's a transcendent kind of contentment. So today, as we think about where we're at in life, may we just lay it down and let his connection be the thing that rules for us, not the disconnection that makes us unstable and not able to bear any extra weight, but the connection that comes in and suddenly we are able to bear our weight plus all the else that life brings us. because life is not free from extra weight. It's certainly not. Life is full of that extra weight. Would you stand as we start to worship and consider what God is doing today? That God has come to strengthen you. He has the ability to do that. And he won't stop pursuing you in the midst of that. He's able to do it. It's a matter of us accessing. Let's worship today.